God's good to us, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited about this service to share with you something that I shared on Sunday morning and where we're going and the direction God's taking us. He's trying to bring us higher.
Amen.
As a church, but as individuals. And there's so many opportunities that he lays before people. And, you know, I think about the verse, many are called, but few are chosen. What's he saying? I'm given opportunities for many, but there's few that will actually walk into those things. Amen. And I want us to walk in to get everything that he has for us. But if you have your Bible, go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, where we're going to start tonight. He's so faithful. I don't want to spend a lot of time in Mark chapter 6, but I do need to lay a foundation for where we're going. Father, help us tonight, Lord. We're just so grateful and so thankful for your mercy and your goodness. Father, I think about the word as being a compass. And you know, Lord, I spent some time in the backcountry and in the wilderness and things. And Father, when you're out there, you want a GPS. You want a compass because it's vast and there's lots of dangers and there's lots of places to get lost and to get stuck and to get hurt. But that GPS or that compass, it takes you to where you need to be. And I think so many times in life, Father, we go through things in this vast world that there's so many different angles of attack and oppression and opposition at times. And Lord, what would we do without the word? We'd be lost. We'd be stuck in poverty. We'd be trapped in despair and depression. We'd be wandering around lost in sickness and disease. But Father, your word takes us to the abundant life, the destination of heaven on earth, the destination of Ephesians 3:20. So, Father, that's the power of your word. And Jesus, I think about how the Bible says that the first part of your ministry, you were here to change the world, but yet the first thing that you did that to accomplish in every place you went was you preached and teach the word. Because it's the word that sets us free. It's the word that changes our lives. So help us tonight to hit the mark. May I not speak as wisdom of man and going by philosophies and opinions, but I want to speak as the oracles of God with boldness and with utterance. I guess the best way to put it is the way the psalmist of old said would be to make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, Lord. When I open it, fill it. We're here for you, Father. We love you and praise you. Thank you for hitting bullseyes in our hearts tonight. We are going to leave with something that is an opportunity laid at our feet tonight to go higher, to get better, to increase, to go forward into all that you have for us. So we receive it. We take hold of it now. Thank you for it beforehand. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark 6, we know these verses. And I even made mention to it, you know, about being hungry for the service. But it says, Jesus went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things, and what wisdom is that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. And there he could do no mighty work, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And then verse 6 keys us into it all. He marveled because of their unbelief. Not God's unwillingness to help. He marveled at their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, we've seen this many times, but I want to highlight how things go. Because remember this, God always wants things to go perfect in his will. Amen. Prosperity, healing, moves of the Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders. That's his plan. A minister that's in tune with him, that's the minister's plan as well. And we know that Jesus came out of Mark chapter 4 when he went to their side and cast the devil out of the demoniac, meets the Jairus, and then meets the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5. And there were three mighty works performed in a row. The demoniac, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus' daughter. Those are mighty, mighty acts. But the Bible says in his own hometown, he couldn't do a mighty work. And the Bible tells us why. The people hindered him from doing what he wanted to do. I don't know if people think I'm just blowing smoke at him, trying to just encourage you through manipulation or, you know, but I can't tell you how important you are in seeing what God wants to do here for it to be fulfilled and carried out. Jesus longed to have Mark 4 and Mark 5 services everywhere he went. And here, he couldn't have it, and it was because of the people. I remember hearing the story of Brother Hagin that he had come out of a church and had 8 of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in a week-long meeting. I mean, when you have 8 of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, that's a rocking meeting. And he went to the next church for another set of meetings, and it was just as dead as could be. No move of God. It felt like there was just such a ceiling and almost like his words were hitting the wall and bouncing back at him. And it troubled him because, again, a good minister wants to see people helped. And you know this, the way I pray it this way, you know, the Bible says about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man that they may profit. Well, if you really love people, that's what you want for people, them to profit. Well, when God's Spirit moves, it's profiting. And so you want moves of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what I would do without a move of the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Hagin was saying, he got before the Lord and said, I don't understand. I've not done anything different. I've not changed my discipline. I've been on my face before you. I've not let anything in, you know, that I know of. And the Lord said, it's not you. He said, the people are different in this church. Well, it wasn't Jesus here. It wasn't God here. It was the people were different in this location. And, you know, we know this, that, you know, not to, you know, talk about that. We've talked about this stuff a lot, but in Acts 12, when the Bible says that Herod took James, I mean, James was one of the inner three with Jesus. When Jesus needed something done, he brought Peter, James, and John with him. James was one of the top dogs, you know, and he gets murdered. And then Peter, it really pleased Satan, who was influencing that wicked king, of course. And they bring Peter in to do the same thing, but Peter was spared, and the Bible tells us why. The Bible tells us why they didn't have a good meeting in Mark chapter 6, and then the Bible tells us why they had results. And in both cases, it was the people. In Acts chapter 12, it says that, but prayer was made without ceasing from the church for Peter. Well, it wasn't Peter. He couldn't get freed on his own. If James couldn't get freed on his own, if he could have, he would have. God wanted James freed. James wanted James freed. But the people didn't cooperate. I'm not saying they didn't want James free, but they didn't cooperate. Well, then they learned something. God wants Peter free, and Peter wants Peter free, but the people have a part to play. So they tried something different, and they did their part, and Peter was delivered. Amen. You need to get this in your heart, or what I'm going to share with you won't mean very much to you. You'll think, well, that's a great endeavor by Pastor Mike, and that's a cool idea, and that's going to be neat if that happens. But I'm telling you, God deposited something in my heart October 4th. It would have been Sunday before the first service, and I shared it publicly at the second service on Sunday, because I was prompted by the Holy Ghost to do so at that time to make it public. And so if you weren't here or didn't go back and listen to that service or wasn't able to listen to that service, not that you should listen to all the services. I don't mean that, you know, unless you're prompted by the Holy Ghost. You know, I preach 3 services a weekend. You're not required to listen to them all. But if the Holy Ghost prompts you to go back and listen to a different one you weren't at, you know, by all means do that. So anyways, I'll mention that as we get going. But for it to come to happen, or come to pass, for it to happen, it's going to take everybody on board. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. But go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. You know, when I say this stuff, I can't help when a minister prophesies over me. Right? If the Holy Ghost, one thing you'll find out about the Holy Ghost is that when he wants something to happen, he bears witness of it over and over again. Yes. Well, how many times have I put up on the screen different ministers that have ministered to me or talked to me that know me from nothing and just about miracles, that this is a ministry of miracles, right? And we've talked about that. And it'd be easy to get caught up and say, Pastor Mike's got an endowment or an anointing for miracles in his ministry. But listen, wait a second. Jesus was far more anointed than I'll ever dream to be. I mean, I don't even come up to his ankles in anointing compared to Jesus. He had the anointing without measure. And he had a miracle ministry. But guess what? The power was shut off. And so if you have a natural person who's got these, Pastor Nancy, Reverend Joel, Pastor Michael, Reverend Greer, Reverend Alam, they've all said the same things about the ministry here, miracles, and I've had that on my heart for years and years, just wanting to see God's power move. And so I believe by sowing into that and hungering for that, God's rewarding us with that. But Jesus hungered for it more than I did. Jesus wanted it more than I did, but yet when the people weren't ready, it didn't happen. So something like that won't happen unless we're hungering, crying out, and thirsting for it. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now notice this, for the perfecting, that means the equipping or the furnishing of the saints. Notice this, for the work of the ministry. We think of ministry, and it's easy to think, that's Pastor Mike's job. Pastor Mike's the pastor. It's Pastor Mike's ministry. No. First of all, it's Jesus' ministry. Amen. We're just stewards over and shepherd under him, under the great shepherd. But notice who he says that the work, what's the work? The work is the carrying out. And we instantly think at times, well, that means nursery, and that means ushering, and that means sound department and working with the children and cleaning department and things behind the scenes like that. And it does mean that, because without people we can't do those things. But it doesn't just mean that. It goes on and it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that. Now notice this, every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You see that there. Every joint supplieth. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. For because of him, the whole body, the church and all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it's supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly and all its functions grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the spiritual body being like the natural body. But think about a natural body. Think about just one part, the hand. You see the hand and think, wow, the hand does great things, but there's things on the inside and behind the scenes that are working properly to make me be able to do this, to make me able to stretch, for my hand to work properly. There's joints, there's ligaments, there's bone, there's cartilage. There's parts of the body that are working, right? That when they don't work, the hand will struggle, or any body part will struggle. And the Bible's saying that every joint that's in the body of Christ, which every member of the body of Christ, has a supply to bring. Now, all of us won't bring the supply of a nursery or ushering or sound or worship team or in the cleaning department or whatever, but there is something that we all are to bring a supply. And I'm not teaching on this tonight, but I just came up thinking about in Acts. Everybody ought to have a ministry of prayer for this church. Everybody ought to be praying for this church, for your pastors, and believe in God. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about what that ministry is and what we need to do and what I'm going to share at the end of how it's going to come to pass, because every joint is supposed to bring a supply. You are not exempt in a local body from bringing your supply. And one of the things that is a main area for every single person that says, Pastor Mike Anderson is my pastor, of course, Renee, Pastor Tim Stallman, wherever you're planted, is to get in agreement with the vision of your shepherd and then bring faith to that vision. That's not singled out to certain people that can do nursery and certain people that can do worship. How many of you know? We don't want everybody on worship team. Trust me. You don't want everybody on worship team. You don't want everybody working with your children. You don't. Some people aren't very technical and see a soundboard or whatever, you know? But there is an area, and this area is understanding that when God moves, God has organization and God has order. And not to sound like some big hotshot upfront leader, but it's just the truth. God's going to give the vision of the church to the pastor. He's going to speak specific things to the pastor. The pastor's going to bring it to the people. It's then the people's job not to question, not to criticize, but to get in agreement, but then not just to leave it there, then get into faith for it to come to pass. Amen? So I want to talk to you tonight in the short time we have here left about agreement, the power of agreement, and what we're going to get in agreement on and then bring our faith to. And what I'm going to tell you at the end of service, if you didn't hear it Sunday, might be way over your head when it comes to where your faith is at. That's okay. Because as we go forward, I'm going to expand that faith for you, which is going to help you not only with the church and bringing your supply, but it'll help you to move into more individually. Amen. Amen? So go with me to, you know, I'm going to save you from going to Amos. We don't have time for everybody to find it. Say, man, Pastor, let's just be honest. Where the heck is Amos, right? I mean, that's your thought. Some of you are thinking, Amos? Doesn't he make cookies? Famous Amos cookies? You ever had them? They're good. You go with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. And then I'll just read you what famous Amos said. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. But in Amos, it says this: how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, it's a little bit different angle, but just talking about agreement, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according, talking about wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, but notice this, and being heirs together. What's together mean? Agreement. But it says, together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What's that verse saying? Let me tell you in Pastor Mike English here. When there's disagreement, things are hindered. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Grace together that your prayers not be hindered. When it's separate, your prayers and your faith will be hindered. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Fulfill my joy. Wow. He says, the way you can fill my joy is that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Do you know what one accord and one mind means? Being in agreement. Not marching to the beat of your own drum. Right? You know, they would know better than me, but I do know this, that in a symphony, you have your sheet music in front of you and you're playing, and if someone's decided to say, okay, we're going to play what's on page 21, and someone decides, you know, the horn section decides to start, you know, Joe on the saxophone or trombone decides to play page 47, it doesn't matter if everyone else is one step out. Well, Paul knew this because the New Testament church, when it was born out of one accord and agreement, and power flowed through it. I never saw it this way, but I just had a mini revelation for myself. No wonder the body of Christ as a whole doesn't see the book of Acts. Why? Because we have things like Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and Catholics. And basically it's what? Everybody just deciding to believe something different. Different. It's not unity. And what represented the body of Christ during this time was power and miracles, signs and wonders. And now it's like we're all chopped into different parts all over the place. And that believes that. They believe this. We believe this. That believes that. And it hurts the power that God wants to have on the earth. So it even highlights even more that in a local body, we need to have our stuff together. Because we need to bring as much power as we can possibly bring as a local body. And there is. There's a corporate body. There's a local body. Because people need us. The world needs us, praise God. Hallelujah. He says, be like-minded, agreement, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Stop it. Agreement is power. Go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Praise the Lord. I want to just read down through a few verses here real quick. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. What was that? What was happening there? The kettle was getting warm. Things were getting ready to start popping. Well, if you go over to Acts chapter 2 in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were still in one accord. They were still in one heart, one mind, in agreement. Remember Jesus said, don't go anywhere, stay together. Why? He's like, I need unity and agreement to bring onto the earth what I want to bring. So here they are there, and then what happens in verse 4? The greatest move of the world has ever seen of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Power came. Amen? Amen? Acts chapter 4 and verse 6. Acts chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, go down with me. Let's see where I want to go. Don't want to take up all the time reading all this here. Just go down to verse 32. Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord. So Acts chapter 4 and verse, go to verse 24. Jenny, I'm sorry. Go to verse 24. Notice what it says here. And they heard that they lifted up their voice to God. Notice this. One accord. See that? In agreement. Together. And they said some things, but if you read down through this, when they prayed that way, the power of God moved in and the place was literally shaken. God's power was poured out. Praise God. And then if you jump over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, now remember, they're all together here. I'm changing this over one second. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. I'm just going to stop there because we don't have time to keep going. All in one accord. One heart, one mind, one accord. Amen? Amen. Well, the power of agreement. Right? The power of agreement. So now go with me real quick to Romans or Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. We'll start there. We're just laying a foundation here. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Because I'm going to need you going forward. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you, now remember when we talk about Mark 11, 23, and we say that if Jesus stood up here and said to you, you'll have what you say, if you actually saw Jesus say that, you think, wow, maybe I ought to watch what I say. Jesus is saying, I'm saying to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them and my Father which is in heaven. Now, it's not the asking. First of all, wow. It's not the asking that stands out to me. The asking's the easy part. It's what brings it to pass. It's not the asking that brings it to pass. It's the power of agreement. He says that if you can get two people to agree on something, then they can get it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Do you see the power of agreement there? Why it's so vital for the power of agreement. Now, just a little side note because this will help you, but if you've ever asked me to pray for you, a lot of times you'll hear me say, what are we praying for or what are we agreeing on? Because the Bible says if any of you is afflicted, let our pastor pray for them, for us. No. If any of you are afflicted, let the afflicted one pray, right? Well, when I say to you, what are we praying for? Because a lot of times people say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Not unless I know what I'm praying for. Because first of all, what am I going to pray for? But second of all, if you're not in agreement with what I'm praying, a lot of times I'll say, okay, I'm going to say a prayer. And you tell me if you can agree with this or not. Because if you can't agree with it, my faith can't trump your doubt and unbelief. That's why Jesus told the guy, you can't get into doubt and unbelief, Jairus. I need your faith because I just can't stroll in here and do anything I want. A lot of times we magnify ministers and things to think they have almighty power. No, you can have more faith than a minister. You can have more results than a minister. A minister has nothing to do with it. A minister still has to work the word just like a sheep has to work the word. Amen? Yeah, there's anointings to minister, but personal belief, everybody's got to go through the same roads of hearing and the opposition and all that that tries to come against you. But notice the power of agreement. You know, a couple stories I've had, and this is important for you to get. You know, I had years ago someone that was dealing with problems in their mouth, and they needed a whole lot of work done on their teeth. And it was going to be, you know, quite a lot to be done. And so they were talking about it, and I just said, why don't we just believe God for your complete healing? Save you the time, the effort, the money, the appointments and things, because you can't just get it all done in one appointment. You do this one time, come back, do it over and over and over again. Well, in finding out, and I'm so thankful this person wasn't full of pride, pride comes before the fall. God just cares that you're in faith with what you're doing. God knows there's different levels or different amounts, right? We see that. We've seen great faith. We see little faith. We've been through that before. And this person said, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I can believe for that. You could tell it was tripping them up. I said, okay, well, what about then get the work done? Can you believe for that? Well, the money that it's going to cost. And I tried to locate him. Can you believe for the money? Yeah, that's not a problem for me. I've seen God do some things financially. I said, okay, let's put our faith there. Common ground. Why? Agreement. I can't just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this person's mouth, no surgery required, nothing needed, when they're not believing that. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What am I trying to highlight? Agreement. Yeah. I've talked to a couple people before. They've gone to some pretty big surgeries. And how many of you know, healing's better than surgery? Anytime you don't have to slice me open, stick things in me, I'll take it. It's better. No medicine is better than medicine, right? No therapy is better than therapy, if you don't, you don't understand what I'm saying. And so the faith message, sometimes the devil will try to pervert anything, try to twist and change to make even the faith message, but thank God for the word that keeps us steady, which I'll show you in a second, how you gauge this. And they're getting ready for surgery, and they don't want to go to surgery. Why? Because faith believes that God can heal them. And God can heal that. But Brother Hagin once said, there was a time when it took all the faith I had to believe for, it was a real low amount of money. He said, now that's a drop in the bucket, and I can believe for great. But he said, but there was a time what happened is faith increased. So I've located a couple people before, right before they were going to decline their surgery and continue to walk into the pain and the torment that they're in, said, listen, if you're not there, that's okay, but can you have faith that the doctors can do what they can do and that you can have a quick recovery? Oh, yeah, Pastor Mike, and you hear their voice change. Yeah, Pastor Mike, I can believe that. Okay, then let's agree on that. And so then we pray and agree, and they have a great surgery. They have great recovery times. Things like doctors say, we can't believe how fast you recover. We've never seen this before. Minimal pain. Why? Because there was power in that agreement. And again, this is just a little side dream, but go to Romans 15, 13. Say, well, where's the line? Well, I'm going to show you where the line is. Romans 15, 13. Talking about agreement. Why? Because Jesus said, if we can get an agreement, if I can get you in agreement with what he spoke to me, oh man, the power of the corporate anointing can bring so much more than a single person's faith if everybody can get on board. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Remember what we talked about faith is? What's a litmus test, or what's a gauge of faith? If there's no peace, there's no faith. I so appreciated hearing Pastor Nancy Dufresne say one time, she said, you'll hear ministers sometimes say, and they might not even be meaning to do this from a bad heart, but they'll say, when you don't know what to give, sometimes you'll get two numbers. Maybe you'll get 100, maybe you'll get 1,000. And she said, you'll hear a minister say, always give the higher amount. Well, how many of you know you have to really walk this fine line by the Holy Ghost? The devil could tell you things just to get you out of peace, to make you think that God's telling me give the 1,000, and it's causing you to tailspin with your peace and crash and burn. Now, your head will always mess with you. That's why you have to learn to discern from your head and your heart, because you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. It's the faith. Peace comes from your heart, true peace. Faith comes from your heart. And so it's not always the higher amount when the higher amount totally trips you up, makes you lose peace. Now, again, it's not an escape to not be generous. Well, that's my out. I'm always just going to say that wasn't God. No. That's why we learn to follow God. But somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to forego that surgery that would fix that problem. I'd be recovered in 6 to 8 weeks, and it'd be gone for the rest of my life. I'm going to forego that because I'm standing in faith for my healing. And yet, on the inside, there's so much turmoil and angst and just yucky feeling, no peace, no harmony, no sweetness in there. Well, what should that have been a gauge to them? Where was the peace? Because when I talked those people off that ledge and we got into, hey, you're not a bad person for believing to go to the doctor. You're not a bad person for taking your medicine. I do believe, take your medicine in faith and believe you never have to do it again and get this surgery done, but believe for the fastest recovery time ever and the least amount of pain. I do believe that. But if your faith isn't at the no surgery, and if your faith isn't that dollar amount yet, you stay where peace is. The important thing is agreement. Agreement. The power of agreement, Jesus said, you'll have. Go to Genesis 11 and verse 1. We're almost done. Genesis 11, 1. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain of the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And when they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar, they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city of the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. See that? And they have all one language. What are they doing? Saying the same things. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go down, let us confound or change up their language. What's God saying? They've learned the secret of some power. They're all thinking the same, and they're all talking the same. And because of that, they're going to do things. Now, unfortunately, their motivation and their energy was towards the wrong. And we've said this before. Faith works towards the wrong as well. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. You talk about how you're always sick, that'll work too. You talk about how you never have enough and you're always the last one and this and that, and your kids are this and that, that will work just as much as believing for your money, believing for your kids, believing for this and that. Amen? It'll work just the same. And so he's saying in the wrong direction, their power of agreement, but the thing I'm trying to highlight here was the power of agreement. Are you ready? So this, first of all, should wake us up to, we ought to be agreeing, because we know one of the visions of the ministry is the miracles. I've been talking to some people, you know, and everybody that has a lick of any spiritual sense at all senses that the top's about ready to be blown off this place. It's just, and that's what God wants to do. There are hurting people in Cattaraugus and Chautauqua County. When the man that was laid at the gate was healed, thousands of people came to Jesus because of it. The power, the miracles, signs, and wonders are the dinner bell of salvation. Ding, 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 people start coming in when the power flows. It's the only thing that separates us from the other religions. You say, what do you mean? Well, Jesus, over and over in the Word, it says that Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders to demonstrate and show them. Why? Because he could have just been another man saying, I'm the way, I'm the way, I'm the way. He didn't just expect people just to believe he was the way because he said it. That's why we have a hard time converting so many people. Because why should people believe us? Because we say Jesus is the way. That person's pretty convinced that Buddha's the way, and that person's pretty convinced that Muhammad's the way, and one person's pretty convinced that it's the spaghetti monster. Isn't there a religion or something? Church of the Spaghetti Monster? The Pastafarians. So, what makes Jesus any different? Just because we are passionate about it? No, the thing that separates us, that should separate us, is we should be able to lay hands on our coworkers' sick children, our coworkers' bodies, and expect God to work. That Muhammad can't do that, and Buddha can't do that. And the Jehovah's Witness can't do that, and the Mormons can't do that. Oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I better be careful. But it's just the truth. The power. So when God prophesies over and over again that this ministry is going to have power, that translates to lives being changed in our community. But what does that look like? Us getting in agreement and saying and confessing and believing God for it. Amen? So now that I've freezed everybody out in here, it's actually cool in here, but the temperature's 1 degree warmer. Figure that out. I can't, but it's the truth. I got the numbers right here. Anyways, I was in my office on October 4th, Sunday morning, and this has gone on for a long time. Jeff will come into my office, you know, faithful Jeff, just always there ready to bless me and help me, and he'll come in and he'll say, Pastor Mike, do you need anything else? I'll say to him, just $1 million, Jeff. Just $1 million. Now, $1 million for what? Not to line my pockets, or like one person called me and asked me Does the church finances go to fund a private house for you on the island somewhere? So that's a good idea. You know, that's, I'm going to call my board and see. I think that's exactly what we should start. No, they don't go there. $1 million for what? Pay this church off? Pay the Allegheny church off? And sow seeds into all the other churches. So we always just say the $1 million. He says, it's coming. I'll say, I know, you know. And I've for years confessed for millionaires in our churches. Why? I know as a minister, money is how you can get things done in the natural. We can fund things and send people places and give and to support with money. And so I've been believing God for millionaires. You know, when I say believing, kind of half-heartedly, but not anymore. Because Jeff came in Sunday morning and he's getting ready to walk. Well, it was actually closer towards the start of service. I was getting ready to walk from my desk over to the bathroom to put my lapel mic on so I could see what I look like in the mirror to look halfway presentable when I come out here. And he came in, Pastor, do you need anything else? I said, just the $1 million, and he left. And as I was walking over to the bathroom, something was deposited in my spirit. This is not a joke anymore. I want you to believe me for $1 million. It was different than it had ever been before. It was put there. It's just anything given by the Holy Ghost is just as good as the Word of God. What did I say? Many are called, few are chosen. What's God doing? He lays things out for people. What did he do by prophesying through these ministers? Miracles, miracles, miracles. What's he saying? It's available if you do the right thing. Well, I wasn't thinking anything, and Jeff said that we've said that for years now. I wasn't thinking anything. And then, bam, I'm walking over there, and it's put in there. This is not a joke anymore. I dare you to believe me for $1 million. Well, from that point on, I was changed. I said, this ain't a joke anymore. And so then from that point on, every day, Father, I thank you, the $1 million's coming. Someone's giving me $1 million for this church. It's coming. The churches are paid off in Jesus' name. It's coming. I know it. Like I know tonight, I am going to slam that meatloaf dinner that I bought from Wegmans this afternoon in preparation of the slamming that's going to take place in a little bit. I mean, I know what's going to happen when I get home. Just like I prophesied to you on Sunday morning, that last chicken dinner. Oh, man. It didn't stand a chance with me on Sunday morning in my truck. I mean, pieces were flying everywhere. I told you that was going to happen. I know it to be true. God wants this for this church. A miracle, a testimony. Well, here's the thing. Big whoop-de-doo that's put in Pastor Mike's heart. Big whoop-de-doo that God wants to do it. If we don't all get on board in agreement and bring our faith to that vision, which again, I'll help you with the faith part because some of you might think $1 million and it just, that the word million trips you up so bad, but you have to start seeing things through the Father's eyes. He's not moved by the word million. Small potatoes to him. Pocket change to him. Think about natural men. Do you know what $1 million is to Donald Trump? I don't know specifically, but I know it's not like what $1 million is to us. Maybe it's like what a $10 bill is to us, or maybe what a $20 bill is to us. If it doesn't trip up natural men, how much least do you think all the silver and gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills are the Lord's? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How do you think it doesn't trip him up? The only people that get tripped up by the word million and increase are human beings. But I need to expand your ability to believe, because when you do that, you'll see it show up in your personal life. Let's just put it this way. If faith is what's required, and if Brother Hagin said, at one point, it took me all the faith I had to believe for $100. Now I can believe for $1 million or whatever number he put there. And $100 is easy. What's he saying? My faith level was different than it is. Well, think about it. If your personal faith level is at a place, that can only acquire what that level could get you. But if you expand that through the vision and the goal and the agreement of the church, imagine what you're going to then be able to personally start believing for. I've told you that I've made decisions and stepped out in things personally and for the church in these years, these last few years and things, that I never would have thought about doing the first or second year personally because it was scared me to death. But now it's like, no, let's go. Let's do this. Faith was increased. So I'll help you with the expansion of your faith to believe that $1 million can become pocket change to you. But what I need from us is agreement on the vision. I need us to be saying, you need to pick up the slack on the miracles, by the way. I know that in my spirit. Now, I'm not trying to be this guy, but I know it in my heart. And maybe I need to talk about it more. And I shy away from it a lot because I hate the feeling that it gives me that I'm trying to draw attention to myself. I'm not a miracle worker. I don't know how to work a miracle. I never can work a miracle on my own. It's all going to be him anyways. But maybe it needs to be said more to keep it before you more because people are slacking in this area. And not saying and not contending for the miracle signs and wonders. Well, now you have a new goal as well to add to this. I can't wait to stand up here someday and say, the million came. Amen. This church has no debt. Allegheny has no debt. And we sowed this seed and that seed and that seed. But it will not come to pass unless we get into agreement and all start speaking and saying the same thing. What does that look like? Father, I thank you. You say this every day. You get in agreement. I thank you. The $1 million comes to our church. You say, why would I say this all of a sudden? Well, because it was put in my heart on October 4th. Amen. It was dropped in there supernaturally. Amen? Amen? Just like when, I can't remember the date now, I think it was July, I can't remember what date it was, but when I have it written down, when I walked into the post office, minding my own business, and bam, God spoke something to me that I still can't tell you about. But I will. Well, minding my own business, I didn't put it there. And when God does stuff like this, it's an opportunity to come higher. Amen. Amen. What is Mark 9 and verse 23? If you can believe, all things are possible. And I'll just close with this. Remember what the prophet of God said, Brother Kevin Durant, when he was here. He said, be thankful that you are in a church that has great need. Now, he didn't say great need from a place of we're struggling and we don't have enough. He's saying where God's placed things in the pastor's heart, there's things to do that are going to cost big bucks and we want to be funders in our heart. He said, be thankful to be in a church like that because for that to come to pass, God will have to increase the people. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So the million's coming. Amen. Do you know what we'd be able to do as a ministry when we cancel the payment for this building and the Allegheny building? Do you know the seed that we're going to be able to sow? Amen. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. Amen. Just believe God for it. It's an opportunity for all of us. I need everybody on board with this. Amen. 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 I don't care if your tithe is $10 a week, if your tithe is $10,000 a week. We need your faith and agreement. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship him for it right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the increase. I know, Father, that people watching or people that don't know, they might think we're crazy. But Lord, it's going to come to pass. And it'll be a testimony to people of what faith can do and what agreement can do. And when you stick with it and you don't give up and you don't let up, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And again, don't you worry if that number trips you up. Don't you worry. Don't you worry if that number trips you up. We'll get your faith increased. We'll get your faith increased. Father, we love you tonight. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready, Father. We praise your holy name. And Father, we're not letting go of the miracles, signs, and wonders. There's too many people that need your touch. So we come in agreement right now for miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and an increase, a multiplication of miracles, signs, and wonders. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit in demonstration in full potential power. All nine of the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives, in our midst, in our church. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Pour out your spirit. Rain down. Stretch forth thy hand to heal. that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in the name. We're not here to play games. There's a hurting world that needs your touch. And the disciples didn't do it without the power, and you didn't do it without the power, and you're certainly not expecting us to do it without the power. So we put a demand on that power. And Father, we have a heart. We know what money can do for people. We know what provision can mean to ministries and churches. We'll be the funders. Yeah. And I thank you, Father, that we will dare to be different. We will dare to step out so far with you, Father, that there's nothing to grab onto except you. Yeah. That's where we're at, Father. If we're going to claim to be a faith church, and you said in my heart years ago that I was to teach faith here, we're going to start having some faith testimonies. Amen. We've already had a few that have been absolutely outstanding and incredible, but it's just the tip of the iceberg, Father. We thank you and praise you. You can go ahead and be seated. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I know everybody in the room here, with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody in the room here is born again, but there's people that might be watching by on live stream or in the future via the archive, and they've not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says that God gave us Jesus so that we would never have to perish but have eternal life, that when we would die or he would come back before we would die, that we'd go to heaven with him. That's what God wants for you. And the cool thing about it is he didn't say you have to get there through good works or financially or through church attendance or any outward natural thing. He said, if you'll just believe in Jesus, you won't perish but have everlasting life. In fact, Romans 10 and verse 9 gives us the equation, or I should say the formula. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So in that prayer, there's two things, believing and receiving. And if you're watching right now and you could say, Pastor Mike, I'd like to go to heaven. I'm actually kind of nervous about what's going to happen after this life, or I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I think I'd go to heaven. Let's get you off that fence of eternity right now, because it's a free gift that he loves you so much. John 3:16 said he loves you so much. He provided this. He wanted this so bad for you. It took him giving his son for it to be able to be possible. That's how much he loves you and wants it for you. So if you're watching and you say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to. If you believe in Jesus, you're qualified. Now again, your head might tell you something different. You don't have to understand this in your mind. You can't understand this in your mind. It's not to be figured out in the mental arena. It's in your heart. But in your heart, you can say, Pastor, there's something in there. I do believe Jesus is real. I believe he died and rose again. You're qualified. The next thing to do is receive him. And I just encourage you, if that's you, you just get alone with him after we dismiss the service and you pray, you cry out to him. And all you have to do is believe and receive. You just declare your belief to him. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll mean that and pray that, he'll do his part. He'll save you. Heaven will be yours. Send me an email. The email address is on the website. The number's on the website. Give me a phone call. We'll get you set up in a good Bible-teaching church. See, heaven, salvation gives you heaven, and heaven will be wonderful, but you have a life to live. And God gave you a way down here to live victoriously and successfully above all the tests and trials that will come your way. I want to help you with that, so get a hold of me. Let's just worship him before we go tonight. Let's just praise him. We bless you, Lord, and honor you and magnify you. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Justin and for Renee. Father, they're precious to me. Having them when they were in high school and seeing that they've not turned from God, like so many people have in life. And Father, you have a plan, just like you do for all of us, but Father, they're on my heart. You have a plan for their lives, both of them. Actually, if you both will come forward, that'd be wonderful. You have a plan for them, Father. And Lord, you see them, you see their heart, you see that they're sold out to you, that they want all that you have for them. So Father, I pray specifically that you'd speak to them, Father, that you'd reveal things to them. Father, that they would walk into every single thing that you have for them. Anything that's not clear will be made clear to them, Father. Any answer that they need, Father, the answers will come. Any revelation they need to help get them over maybe something they're going through or something in the future to get them into the next place, Father, I thank you for it. That's what you want for them. And Father, I know how much you love them and care about them, Father, because I know how much I love them and care about them. And I thank you for the plan that you have in their life. In the name of Jesus, everything he has for you, just be fulfilled. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, every single thing that he has for you, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We're all going to hit the mark. We're all going to hit the mark in Jesus' name. I thank you for answers for them. That's Renee and Justin, that's what just keeps coming up in my heart. I don't know why. If there's answers you need right now, but answers, clarity's coming to you. Specific clarity on things. And when it happens, you know, you don't need to be specific, but get back to me because giving testimony is always blessed me. But there's answers coming that you didn't have that you're going to have now. So, Father, we thank you for those answers. We praise you for those answers. We thank you, and they know how to hear from heaven, so they'll know. We glorify you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you and appreciate you. Don't forget, drop your offering in as you go. We'll see you Sunday morning. You are dismissed.
I'm not gonna live by